Hi, I'm Ben Trefney, news director here at KALW. We really appreciate you listening to Cross Currents, and we'd really appreciate your support during our almost fall membership drive. Please click the Donate Now button at KALW.org. Thanks.
There's a long history of chocolate making in the Bay Area that goes all the way back to the Gold Rush. Over a century later, the Bay Area chocolate scene is fire, and there's a new guard of chocolate makers in town that's picking up where a previous generation of innovators left off. They're making great-tasting chocolate, and they're leading a small but potent revolution in the chocolate industry.
In Berkeley, there's a specialty food store called Market Hall. And once a year, they hold a popular event called For the Love of Chocolate.
So again, yeah, it has a completely different flavor profile, right? There's no right or wrong way to taste chocolate.
This year, a small crowd gathers around chocolate expert Vanessa Chang. She stands behind a table covered in chocolate bars and leans forward, guiding her audience through the intricacies of chocolate tasting.
You're going to get flavor profiles. There are dark chocolates out there that taste like molasses and tobacco and leather, like really dark, like whiskey almost. And if you don't like it, it doesn't mean that the chocolate's bad. It's just that not your cup of tea, and that's okay.
Chocolate maker Lan Fan would agree that there's no right or wrong way to taste chocolate.
Maybe you taste one thing, but I taste something different. And that's totally fine because it's subjective as long as we love it, right?
Fan started as a chocolate lover, but then things got serious.
It's almost like a midlife crisis or something. I was working a regular day job, but I wanted to be able to kind of like hold something and know that, okay, this is, I make this. And so I decided that I decided to leave my job.
Fan now spends most of her time making chocolate under the name Ninth and Larkin, which she sells in stores around the Bay Area.
But we are very small. I'm here full-time myself. And then my husband helped me over the weekend or after work sometimes, but that's it.
Do you have any employees?
No, I do not.
Wow, I didn't realize that. So it's just you in this space doing everything?
Yes.
One person doing everything. But she keeps her recipe simple.
In our chocolate, we have cacao beans, cane sugar, and slightly a little bit cocoa butter. That's all.
The complexity of flavor comes from the bean itself, because in each type of chocolate she makes, Fan uses only single-origin cacao beans. This means that each bar is made from beans that come from only one part of the world.
It's almost like you get to travel to that area because how's the temperature in that area, or how's the soil, or the amount of rainfall and sunlight, it affects how the cacao beans taste. And so it is almost like you can travel with your taste buds when you eat chocolate.
Fan herself is originally from Vietnam, a country that's becoming known for producing high-quality cacao beans.
The connection with Vietnam, that's why I always wanted to kind of carry or make something from Vietnam beans. So we do have a few of the origins from Vietnam. And then besides that, we have the Tanzania and Dominican Republic.
Over in Berkeley, Brian Wallace is hard at work on a small batch of chocolate. He also uses single-origin beans from places like Ecuador and Colombia. And his company, Endorphin Chocolate, is a little older and a little bigger than Lan Fan's. Wallace gets started on the batch by sorting through dry cacao beans, roasting them,
and then we crack in one of them
to remove the shell from the cacao bean. Then the beans get ground up in a melanger, or large mixing tank. Sugar usually gets added at this stage, and the viscous result gets transferred over to a melting tank, which slowly feeds the chocolate, one squirt at a time, into the tempering machine.
This is our baby. We've named her Phoebe. She fluctuates the temperature of the molten chocolate as it's passed kind of in this cycle. And what she's doing is melting down the crystalline structure that's contained within cocoa butter.
This leads to a shiny and smooth final product, the kind of chocolate that melts in your mouth and makes a satisfying snap when you break off a piece. Brian Wallace works hard for that snap, because the process of making what's called bean-to-bar chocolate is not easy.
How would you define bean-to-bar for someone who has never heard that term before?
You know, the definition of bean to bar seems to be a moving target these days, for sure. For us, it's that we buy and source our own cocoa beans and that our chocolate is made using those cocoa beans.
It's a commitment to controlling the chocolate-making process from start to finish, all the way from the bean to the bar. And Wallace is equally committed to celebrating the botany and history of chocolate.
I wanted to put chocolate back in the limelight as this food of the gods and put it back in this place of reverence and respect that it had been in for thousands and thousands of years throughout its history in the Americas.
In San Francisco's Mission District, the bean-to-bar company Dandelion takes the reverence for chocolate to another level. At Dandelion's bustling cafe, they sell single-origin chocolate in the front, make chocolate in the back, and teach chocolate-making classes upstairs.
Excellent! I'm so excited about this class tonight.
The teachers pour cacao beans onto a stainless steel counter and encourage everyone to start sorting them.
All right.
Are we sorting them?
Yeah, let's sort some beans.
All right, so...
Again, I'm happy to continue talking, as you can tell
what?
Right now. This is why this...
Continue talking?
Every time Christina and I do a class together, she's like, my only job is to stop Greg from talking.
Is to keep you on schedule.
That's because Greg D'Alessandre is crazy about chocolate. So much so that he's given himself a special title. He's the so-called chocolate sorcerer at Dandelion. In other words, he spends most of his time sourcing cacao beans from farms all over the world. Dandelion's chocolate has only two ingredients in it. Cacao beans and sugar.
And when you do just cocoa beans and sugar, the flavor of the beans are really important. And as we started getting deeper into making chocolate, we started to realize, getting good beans is much more about relationships than it is about the beans themselves, almost.
Which is why D'Alessandre says he values the relationships he builds with cacao farmers in places like Belize and Guatemala. He buys beans from them directly, and he pays them well above market rate. Along with other bean-to-bar makers across the country, Dandelion is part of a small but growing shift in the chocolate industry.
The history of cocoa has been one of power dynamics. There's this belief and understanding that cocoa is not worth very much because at one point the cocoa was essentially free because people were growing it in their colonies.
And there's still an undeniable imbalance in the relationship between the countries that grow cacao and the countries that consume chocolate. This is because cacao is strictly grown in the tropics, in developing countries, while chocolate is largely consumed in developed parts of the world, like Europe and the U.S.
If we're ever going to get to a point where there's actual fairness in the whole system, it's not just about changing prices. It's about changing attitudes of what it means to be a cocoa producer versus what it means to be a chocolate maker and how those people interact.
But it's not always easy to figure out how to change these attitudes and what price to pay for cacao beans.
The way I think about it is we don't set the prices. The people who are selling the product to us set the prices. Mm. So we don't even really negotiate.
But how do they know what prices to charge?
That is the question of the decade, maybe even century. I think it is an ongoing process of trying to figure that out.
Which is where Emily Stone comes in. She's one of the founders of Uncommon Cacao, a cacao supplier based in Berkeley that connects small farmers in Haiti and Central America with chocolate makers in the U.S. like Dandelion. And her aim is to change the way that cacao is bought and sold.
Cacao for the last, really, century has been traded as a commodity.
And on the commodity market, there's no such thing as a high-quality cacao bean. All beans are treated as equal, and their price is usually set very low. So the only way most cacao farmers can make more money is by selling more beans. And with the push for increased quantity comes inevitable exploitation.
Some of the information that's come out recently over the last 5 or 6 years around the huge problems with child labor, slavery, deforestation, these are all major problems in the chocolate supply chain. And from our perspective, a lot of that is related to price and to the serious undervaluing of cacao as a raw material or as an ingredient.
So when there's a demand for higher quality beans from bean-to-bar chocolate makers like Dandelion, farmers can begin to ask for higher prices. And along with higher prices, Stone says that ethical trade cannot be achieved without transparency.
We're the only supply chain company in the world in cacao to publish our prices and margins.
It's a new model that Stone calls transparent trade. but she acknowledges that this model still has a long way to go.
I would say that in general, we're still really far from farmers in most of the world earning a living income from cacao.
If progress is to be made, Stone says it comes down to changing the way we think about chocolate and how much we pay for it.
We have been sort of tricked over the last several decades into thinking that chocolate is, you know, cheap.
And bean-to-bar chocolate is not cheap. At around $8 a pop, it's significantly more expensive than your average supermarket candy bar. So should we start paying more for chocolate? And what is chocolate actually worth? According to the Bay Area makers leading the bean-to-bar revolution, it's worth a lot more than you think. And the chocolate lovers over at Market Hall in Berkeley seem to agree. In Berkeley, I'm Zaina Nasser for Cross Currents.